Dana turns around and is like, there's no evidence for this. And I was like, oh, thank God. Okay, let's move on. And she's like, but Netanyahu. Oh my God, how does every freaking show come back to this? How does every show come back to this? And at that point, I'm like, I'm not gonna be responsible for this. I'm not gonna participate in this. Mm-hmm. I'm responsible for this. And this is not a debate. This is not an interview. This is not a fair portrayal of all of the facts. And this is not for me.
Welcome to the Today Show with James and Danny. I'm, of course, your co-host, James Lee.
I'm Danny Love.
And today we have a very special guest who doesn't really need any intro, but I'll do a very short intro anyways. She is a fitness guru, television personality, author, also businesswoman, somebody who I find to be very smart, also very honest, which is really important to me, and also somebody you don't really want to mess around with, I don't think. So,
Jillian Michaels. Pacifist. Every day I've got like shots fired across the bow, and I'm like, no,
this
why?
Is just the label they give you as a strong
why?
Woman.
I never,
but that's good. I mean, I think
see
it's
me start a fight. You will never see me talk shit about someone. Like, I don't attack people. I may attack their ideas, and recently I've been put in numerous positions where I have to defend myself, which is unfortunate because you're thinking like, I really don't like this. Is so dirty.
Yeah.
Talk about people. I hate it. But you know, when you're backed into a corner, you're like,
but what I mean, that's what I mean is that you don't really take shit. You're not going to let people walk over you.
You know, there's two different thoughts of how to manage that though, obviously, right? One is Susie Orman told me this years ago. I'm not sure if you two are familiar with her. You're very young, but she was this monster money guru. It's still very relevant, but to older generations, I would imagine. And she said, Jillian, the dogs keep barking, but the elephants keep walking. You know, don't punch down. Don't, you know, get in the mud with pigs. Like, you get dirty and the pigs enjoy it. And you try that high road quite a bit until at one point or another, you're like, all right, I have no choice but to at least defend myself.
For sure.
But I try really hard not to.
But you know, I mean, you say stuff that's true, that's true to you, and you just
true
put it
me.
Out there. Because I want to tell people how we met, which is
of course
this video that I made. This is last year. I don't know if you remember this. You probably don't, but it was Ava Mendez made this video.
I don't because I watch you all the time.
About
I remember which one started it.
She made this video about food dyes in Fruit Loops.
Yes.
And then I noticed that there were these doctors, dietitians, quote unquote, in her comment section saying that she's spreading dangerous misinformation. Yeah. So then what I did is like, okay, let me look up a couple of these people that are in these comments.
Right.
And then I find out, oh, I guess you are maybe saying this because you're being funded or you write for a blog.
Your
that
research is
funded,
by your yeah. paid consulting yeah. fees by.
Exactly. And that was the first time I was actually threatened with a loss. So they were saying they're going to sue me for 100%. Defamation,
mm-hmm.
for what, I guess, reading their LinkedIn profile or something like that.
They can't do that, though. I know this for a fact. I love that they threatened you with that, but that's public domain. Like, it's out there. You're not making anything up.
No.
You're not accusing someone of something they didn't do. You're
Well, because they were saying, no, LinkedIn. I didn't get paid by this. I just write for them. I contribute for free.
And for free.
Yeah. Well, like,
how kind. How generous.
Well, I'm like, well, you can get paid for this, you know.
Right. Yeah. I imagine they know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, you were, I can't remember if it was a DM or it was in the comment section, but you came in and you like, hey, this is, you laid down the law, which was cool.
I just love that you're investigating this stuff. You're getting to the bottom of it all. I love that about you. I think it's fantastic.
Well, thank you. I'm trying to. And I think we all do our best in terms of like looking for stuff. And I know you were big on the MAHA movement and RFK Jr.
I still am.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how do you think he's doing so far?
Okay. Given what he is up against, I think it's a miracle we've gotten this far. I see criticisms obviously on both sides. You know, one side is, he's a lunatic, he's a maniac, he's the devil. Like, why? And they take you down the vaccine rabbit hole. It's a bit of a red herring because they don't want to talk about the food and they don't want to talk about big ag and big chemical and they don't want to talk about big pharma and they don't want to talk about big insurance. But the one element that we can carve out and call them like an existential threat is vaccines. So that's all they focus on, despite the fact that he's been extraordinarily measured as head of HHS on that topic. Now, on the other side, people don't appreciate that he's been extraordinarily measured. They're like, this, you haven't done enough.
Sold out or whatever.
Yeah, you haven't done enough. Oh my gosh. We still have to vaccinate our children. And the reality is you can't please all the people all the time. And you have to appreciate he's got the four biggest lobbies, I would imagine, in the world going against him. So when he's reevaluating the grass rule and he's got Operation Stork looking at all the crap that's in baby formula and he's taking COVID off of the schedule, the vaccine or the shot rather, off of the schedule for kids because it's contraindicated. And this guy is doing actually quite a bit. He replaced the entire ACIP and for good reason. Not one of those individuals ever pushed back on a vaccine, despite the fact that later some of these vaccines had dangerous side effects and were pulled. Like not one of them did that. They all had, 90% of them had conflicts of interest or didn't fill out a conflict of interest form. Like there's so much there. And I think I relate to it on one level because you just think this is a lose-lose. You know,
he's put in a tough position.
It's a very tough position.
It's like the new White House memo that they came out with the research with Tylenol.
Oh my God, right? Complaints on that one on it's, both sides are it's, bunker short.
It's crazy. But then when they do the press conference, I thought it was interesting that they did bring up both President Trump and RFK Jr. that when you look at the Amish community, there are zero cases of autism. And I thought that was really brave. I did a story on it. And, you know, it's crazy the backlash, the DMs, that people go back and forth with that. Yep. But I do feel like people on the Maha side feel like we all know it's not Tylenol, right? Like they have that feeling.
There is old and solid, meaning old, not dated, but there is a history to this information. It's not new news. They went back and they looked at papers and I just watched Marty McCary talking about this, and forgive me, I should remember, but there was a substantial amount of scientific data, numerous papers, 20 something maybe, that drew a causal link to it. I have not had a chance to dig in deep to this, but I suggest you pull up Marty McCary's clip where he's talking on News Nation about this. And there were roughly, it was to Cuomo, actually. And there were, I don't know, 13 or so, significantly less studies that said there was no link. And he said the studies where there were significantly more and the data was more robust. The studies were executed more efficiently. And I thought, okay. And I did know, I've heard this before, and one of the deans of the Harvard Medical School or something had come out and said, this is kind of old news, we've known this. I think that's a part of it. If I was to look at all of the experts that I've interviewed about this, whether they're PhDs or MDs, it seems to me that there's an unquestionable connection to the microbiome in autism. And it seems to me, and a great person to talk to about this is Dr. Sabine Hazen, who has focused almost all of her research on this now, on recolonizing the gut actually to help improve autism. And she's had unbelievable success. But when they draw these connections to, let's say, Tylenol or cesarean section or vaccines or whatever it might be, thimerosal, aluminum, these are all things that are going to impact your microbiome.
Well, I think it has to be multifactorial because
if
you look at us just as humans, we're less healthy. So like people are, let's say, having babies later, that probably would have an impact. We're
for sure
more obese than before. That's
100%.
Probably messing something up.
Everything.
Right? There's all kinds of things going on, but it's like, are we able to be honest about, okay, is this causing a problem? Do we need to remove this? I think I saw a tweet this morning. It's from the Tylenol account. This was from like 7 years ago. Somebody pulled up from their official Twitter account, and they already said that, hey, during pregnancy, like if you want to take it, you should consult your doctor.
Listen, you should also take that stuff very sparingly.
Yeah.
When you're not pregnant,
that's the issue. I think people start to abuse it. They take two Advils in the morning, things
100%,
like that,
and it destroys your gut lining. Yeah. It actually impedes recovery from injury because it mutes the inflammation response, which strategic pointed inflammation is very, very important. It's stress. It's how you heal. It's how you fight an infection. It's chronic inflammation that becomes a problem.
That seems to be the big problem here in America. I mean, for just full disclosure, I used to be, and a lot of my viewers know this, I used to be a big pharma consultant before I did.
I did not know that.
Oh,
you would love Brigham Buell. Gotta have him on.
Okay.
Well, so was he worked for as a pharma rep and all that stuff.
So, and I think the major issue is we teach people just to, if you have a problem, then there's a pill for it or there's some treatment for it versus looking at the body holistically and saying, okay, here are some things you can do outside of taking a medicine to try to heal your body.
Well, the system is built on chronicity. Mm-hmm. It's not built on prevention and it's certainly not built on care. It's a big, 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 big business. It's like, what is it? Again, this is a Callie. I just interviewed Callie Means about this. And he'll tell you, it's like how much times the budget for the Department of Defense, it costs us trillions. Literally. It's just bananas. It's a huge industry.
Right. And it's, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's interesting, though, that doctors are not pushing exercise more, right? Isn't that a solution?
To do that. But to their credit, a responsible clinician will obviously tell you to focus on the big rocks. You know, mm-hmm. use common sense with your food choices. Try not to overeat. Move your body. Get your sleep. That stuff goes a long way. I would tell you that the big rocks cover 90% of it. However, if we were to look at things like cancer and heart disease and autism, skinny people are getting this stuff.
Right.
Skinny fit people are getting this stuff. So now we really have to look at what is in the water, what is in the air, what is in your deodorant, what's in your shampoo, what the hell is your, what are your clothes, what's going on?
I've done all of these, clothes, toxins in the clothing.
100%. You know, it's great to talk to him about that is Darren O'Lean. We'll give you, like he has an insane book about all of the toxins we're bombarded with and effectively how to mitigate them effectively.
Yeah.
But that's a big piece that I believe government does need to regulate. And the issue is when there's this revolving door and this cozy relationship with industry, not only are they not regulating any of this, they're facilitating it. And that's concerning.
Right. And I'm always wondering, how do we get them to stop? Because I think a lot of this is like, hey, you guys
campaign
need to just
finance.
Laws
around advertising. But that's
is the... it like we need like a CEO to like have a family member deal with something and they're like, oh wow, we're causing this issue, so then I'm gonna take it. I think a lot of times you
never
have to take
it
personally, or you have to have something personal in your life to make you shift.
Fire that CEO. Oh. In fact, there's the Novo Nordisk former CEO. God, I wish I could remember all this stuff for you right now, but if you look into it, you'll find it. The Novo Nordisk former CEO said that, obesity is multifactorial and there's no business for Novo Nordisk here. They fired that guy, buried his book. I'll send this to you. You'll love this. You want to talk about a conspiracy? You can't even find the book. You can't buy it anymore in America.
Because Novo Nordisk, it's from
That's Ozempic. Right. They make Ozempic.
Okay.
And
so even in Europe, that's happening. People are...
Oh, yeah. Night. Yeah, you can't.
Well,
find
it's like
a book,
during COVID, they censored all of the alternative information off of Amazon.
By the way,
you couldn't buy the books.
Actually, working on a book about this right now.
Really?
Okay.
To look at the ways in which ag food, pharma, insurance have rigged the system. It's just so you will love it. It is so deep
sure,
and so scary and so bananas. And one of the things that they started doing very early on, and it started with Rockefeller and Getty and all those guys, is how do we make drugs out of petrochemicals, and how do we smear these functional medicine doctors and make this look kooky and wacky and crazy?
Well, that's kind of what they're doing with RFK Jr. now.
And Casey Means.
Yes.
Stanford-trained physician, top of her class, has won so many academic awards and accolades. And they're like, oh, banana pants influencer. I'm like, wait, huh? Yeah. What is this? Stanford Medical School? Like, really?
Well, because she became a quote-unquote influencer. That's how they're branding her. Because she said, hey, I could do more good for public health if I do it outside the system and try to inform people, try to educate them. Versus being just a fish in.
But influencer has now taken on the stigma of lack of education and advice.
Yeah.
So.
And there are a lot of those. I mean, because I think there's such a spectrum of influencers, right? There's very educated ones. There's ones that don't know anything. And
100%.
People with differing, I guess, intentions.
I totally agree with you. But if you're going to be influenced by someone, Wouldn't it be somebody who's top of her class at Stanford? And my favorite is when people turn around and like, oh, how much money are you getting paid? And I sometimes want to say, like, do you know how much money I have lost?
Right, exactly.
Do you know how much money? I would be fighting with you on X on my private plane.
Yeah.
Like, are you
If you would have done it to Travis Kelce, bought the Pfizer vaccine.
Like, and Bob Harper did a deal with GlaxoSmithKline. One of the other trainers, Dovak Coins, is on the homepage for Ozempic. Like, are you kidding?
Oh, wow.
You know, people like Casey, it's like, oh, she's got a deal for a blood glucose monitor. I'm thinking, do you know how much money she could have been paid to be a spokesperson for these drug companies? Are you guys kidding? You think she wants death threats? That's a real good time. She's a new mom. She's having her first baby in like 5 seconds.
Oh,
nobody
wow.
wants that stuff, man. You take this stuff on because you feel compelled. It's your personal truth.
Right. And I think that's what, people will come at me too. They're saying, oh, you're just grifting off of this anti-science stuff. I'm like, well, I could literally, as a mid-level consultant, I was making like 7-10x the amount of money that I'm making
exactly
right now. I could have just done that and made PowerPoint slides and, you know, maximize revenue for big pharma. It's so easy.
It is insane. And they say it all the time. And you want to. That's when I have to stop myself. You want to get in those comments and just be like, are you fucking bananas, you idiot?
It's so hard
like,
not to get
in those comments. Do you know how much money I lost? Like, let's go through it one by one. And it, I don't know, it's unfortunate, but that's kind of how they smear you, when in reality, the opposite is true, and the ones going after you are the ones getting paid.
Right, but it's becoming less and less effective. The more they try to smear people who are obviously well-credentialed.
Yeah.
It becomes, you know, the attacks are not effective. I mean, you could see that now with how people are conversing about different topics. It's not so uniform to say, oh, yeah, this is good, this is bad. People are having conversations.
So, you know, people need to do their own research.
And which then is they, dangerous. According to the Washington Post, dangerous.
I was just about to say. Like, and then they tell you how dangerous that is. Yeah. But if you look at something like, not to take us all the way off piste, but if you look at someone like Charlie Kirk, he's a racist. I'm like, okay, find me the racist comment. Ah, he said the Civil Rights Act is bad and that AOC. And that's what gave people of color the ability to vote, which I don't know if you follow Kaizen. I see you do. He completely was like, that
oh,
is
I
not
love him. Gonna
get. He's fantastic.
Yeah. He's so good.
He is just wonderful.
I think it was the one that he played the whole video.
And then it was like, that's actually not the law. This is the law that gave them. And this is what Charlie said. And then he played the video. And of course, Charlie was saying that on its face, the intentions were obviously noble and fantastic of providing equal opportunity and equal rights to people of all colors, creeds, ethnicities, so on and so forth. But that it's so broad and so vague, they're using it to get rid of voter ID laws. They're using it to get, you know, biological males in female sports. And he went on to talk about all these different things that had nothing to do with people of color having the right to vote, which he, of course, supported 100%. So doing your own homework, I think, is so important. And if you can't disseminate the information, then go to an expert you trust, an influencer with credentials, and ask questions.
That's on purpose, though.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the culture warrior, like, Charlie Kirk was a culture. I always say this. He was a culture warrior. Like, he talked about that kind of stuff. But then what makes it worse is that people on the other side paint him as one thing. So then I think it's deliberate where we get people to just fight about the worst version of somebody versus looking at Charlie Kirk and maybe some of the principles that he stood for that were consistent over a long period of time versus pointing out maybe some of these moments.
Or taking them out of context, the whole gay thing. He said he would stone gaze. And I got sent this actually by my ex, who was disturbed that both of our kids were watching Charlie Kirk. She's like, how are you not upset about this? And I was like, well, hold on, Heidi. I haven't heard about that. Let me look into it. So, of course, I look into it. And that's not what he said. He was showing the ways in which people cherry pick quotes from the Bible.
This is Rachel. I saw that quote.
Yes. And then there's a great interview with him and Dave Rubin where he's like, I celebrate you. I celebrate your family. You should have all of these rights. He, you know, he's like, listen, I am religious. I think it should be between a man and a woman, but I would never want to take your rights away. And he never, in fact, tried to support, back, put forward, fund any legislation that would take that right away from gay people. So just, I get it. There are things he did that are controversial. Of course, there are things he did I don't agree with. But if you're going to be outraged, just be outraged about what's true and take it from there.
Yeah, totally. I saw that you said that your son, I think 13, had a very strong reaction to this. And I think a lot of people his generation sadly watched, right? And were able to see this. How do you think that this generation is going to be affected by this? I mean, it's such a pivotal moment in history.
I was talking to Benny Johnson about this, actually. And I was like, I'm so sad, Benny. Why am I so sad? And I was like, I knew him, but like, not well. And he, you know, Benny goes, well, first of all, I think because you watched him, and I watched him with my son, you felt like you knew him because you did. Charlie was Charlie. You did know him, actually. That's who he was. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. I do feel like I know him more than I knew him, on top of the personal connection. And he went on to say, you know, also, can you imagine if 9/11 had happened at a time when there were cell phones that would stream this crap on social media? He just was like, can you imagine how awful and hideous? And that's what our kids are dealing with. And I mean,
how are they talking about this in the school? Are they using this in school?
No, and I had a kind of a several go-arounds with the principal. So I was in Washington, D.C., actually doing a documentary for Fox News about MAHA. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting with Brigham Bueller, actually, when it happened, and interviewing Callie Means the very next day. So, of course, it happens. I get out of this interview, and both of my kids, you know, are in my feed, or I'm sorry, in my text, just freaking out. My son's hysterical. He has to leave school. My daughter is like, Mom, there are kids that are dancing and celebrating.
And how old are they?
These are
how
old are they?
He's 15. He's 13.
Okay.
And I didn't, you know, I hadn't seen any of the, you got to remember, this is like an hour or so after. And we didn't even know he was gone yet.
Okay.
And then I think I found out because I responded that he was killed. And she goes, no, that he was shot. Because I don't even think the kids knew yet that he had officially died. And I was so aghast. And I'm like, oh my God, this is disgusting and it's terrifying. Are you okay? And she goes, no, I'm not okay. And of course, I obviously called my kids immediately. I brought my son to me immediately. He left school, the whole thing. I flew him to me. He was so upset. And I think it's a combination of, this is the biggest political assassination of our lifetime.
For sure.
Yeah.
This is an individual that all the kids are watching, whether they like him or whether they don't like him. Mm-hmm. My kids happen to like him. This is so violent and so gory and so awful. I actually did not watch it because I know myself.
You have not seen it.
No, I will not watch it.
Oh, wow.
I will not. And now I hear it's very hard to find.
It was hard to not see it at the time because it just seemed like it was all over social media.
I will not watch it. I cannot watch it. I will not.
I couldn't sleep for the first night for sure.
That's my point. And do you guys remember? You're so young. Do you remember? I mean, young in a great way, but I think I was like 30 when this happened. So do you guys remember when they beheaded Daniel Pearl?
No,
okay.
I don't.
So this was a journalist. I believe it was ISIS. Your engineers, yeah, see, all of us Gen Xers were like, oh yeah. And they did it on video. I think they made a movie about it, to be dead honest. And they beheaded him and they put the video on the internet. And it is everything you would imagine it to be. And my ex, who's a fantastic person, ended up watching it and she was, she's like, I'm never going to be the same. I'm like, I told you not, don't do this. And even my wife was like, I don't know why I watched it. It came up in my feed. I didn't know what to do. And she was so disturbed. My kids were so disturbed. So there's that element of it. And then what has really been quite terrifying are all of the individuals celebrating it. Because sit here and play the whole, okay, one crazy guy, game, right? Oh, we got one crazy guy. Mm-hmm. One crazy guy. He's a crazy guy. Like, let's not get into the, oh, he's this color, he's that color, he's this oriented. Let's just call him a crazy guy. I prefer that. That's way better. Then we don't have to develop this bias and this prejudice against people of a color or an orientation. Like, but when you want to isolate it to one crazy guy, but you have a huge amount of people celebrating a man being violently murdered online, I believe in front of his child. I've heard that. I have not tried to validate that, but I heard his three-year-old was there.
I know she was in Utah. I don't know if they were watching. Okay. I agree.
I really hope not. I had no desire to get the actual facts.
Yeah.
Because I would like a plausible deniability that the child was not there.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you know, you've got a man who now has two children without a father, a widowed young woman. It's disgust. I'm sorry. And you, like, that's terrifying. And it's doctors, it's nurses, it's teachers. Every time you go to the hospital, are you going to wonder what what political affiliation your doctor has, or whether they're going to save your life or not, if you're wearing a MAGA hat, or
for sure
if that person is teaching your child and your kid is a conservative, because a lot of young kids are now. It's deeply alarming, and I think all of those things disturb me to my core, let alone young kids.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, I've heard stories of educators and teachers in the way they engage in this subject, in that they're maybe not outrightly celebrating it, but they're saying that it is okay, or this is the consequences of your actions conversation. And I always, you know, even though, you know, I appreciated Charlie just because of the free speech aspect. I didn't
agree with him. I totally understand.
On a lot of the stuff.
I totally understand.
But I'm like, hey, he's one of the few people going out there and debating people.
Which was one of the things I personally agree with you. It's like, that's what I loved so much about him. You know, we could sit here and talk about his ideas on immigration or his ideas on this or that, and I would say, oh, well, I wish I'd had a chance to talk to him about that or have that debate. I'd probably lose because he's just so much better at it.
Yeah. I feel like he had a photographic memory.
Oh, my gosh. It was just bananas. Brilliant. But, like, his position on immigration, you know, it's like, well, America first, and I get all of that, but is there a way to reform policy? Because historically, immigrants pay more into the system than they take out. They start businesses, their kids do better in school. Like, how do we actually utilize all of this talent to boost the economy, to help Americans instead of to, like, I would have loved to have had these kind of conversations. And now he's gone. Right. And there were going to be more, and I was excited. We've obviously connected over Maha because we had common ground there. But the fact that he would invite a gay married woman to Turning Point, let me say whatever I wanted to his audience, unfiltered. You know, he
believed in that. He allowed all, not just that issue, in every issue, which is what I liked about him. And I think this is what I try to tell someone, because I have a very diverse audience, because I do a lot of just digging into corruption.
Thank God.
And I think that's a unifying.
Thank God. Thank God.
And I tried to, because they were actually, I lost maybe like 1,000 followers because I posted a story right after it says, hey, we should not condone violence of any type.
And people lost 1,000 followers.
Because
can
they were.
Can you believe that?
Because they were coming at me for saying, for basically justifying that, or maybe being positive about him. Even if it was nothing about it. It was just saying, hey, violence is bad. And something I try to tell these people is that, hey, when you start justifying violence because you're saying, hey, the world would be better off without Charlie Kirk. That's basically what they're saying. Then you can use that to basically be violent towards any group.
You know what's
interesting? Any marginalized
group. I would
group.
Love, you know, that woman, Ashley Allison on CNN. Really smart woman of color. And I bring that up because, of course, she's like, he's a racist. And she's like, I would love to sit down with somebody who saw the benefit of some of his ideas. And I want you to hear why it hurts me. And I was like, I will have that conversation with you. Her ex is blocked. So then I like tried to, whatever it is where you say like, okay, will you accept me so I can send you a DM? Didn't accept me. Didn't respond to the request. I'm fairly sure you probably saw it. And because you don't want to have that conversation, because I want to listen. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what you have to say. And I'm going to tell you what I saw about him. And one of the things that made me feel good about my kids watching him was that he respected his wife. His wife is, whether you like her or not, she's very well educated. I think she has a master's in political science. I think she might even be a double major. This is a very intelligent woman. He even goes on to say, like, if you want to go back to work, go back to work. But we should have a country where a woman does not have to sob, you know, giving her 6-month-old to daycare to go do spreadsheets for some company that doesn't give a crap about her. Like it just, let's have the, I like how he was with his daughters. I like how he was with his wife. I like how he empowered young men to take responsibility. Whereas on the other hand, I got my kids listening to songs that are like fuck bitches and hoes and yeah. do endo and this and scissor. And you, and like, you know, so there, I will tell you, I liked this. I didn't like that. I hear you. I can see whether, or, but did you get that the right way? Are you mischaracterizing this? Does that, but there's no conversation. It's just, I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Whoa. I said this Whoa. Right after. I'm curious what you think, but for me, it's less about left or right in this situation. I feel like we're in a spiritual war.
Totally agree.
And this is good versus evil.
Totally
and
agree.
When you have people, anybody, I don't care if you're conservative, liberal, and you're celebrating the death of somebody, a father, a son, a brother, to me, that's your team evil now. Like, and like I told James when he told me he lost 1,000 followers, I said, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want those
no,
people.
Those should be.
Those are team evil. Like you should be so happy you lost them. And of course he's gained them back 10 times, yeah. But
good.
But yeah, I really feel like we are in this spiritual war. And I'm just curious if you feel like that with this situation and in other situations.
I think what's happening is the same thing that happened in Rwanda. It's the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany. It's historical. It's the othering. And unfortunately, our reptilian brain is prone to buying into this for survival reasons. And the powers that be know this. So they're like, okay, we can unite the base. We can unite the base over a common enemy. I can fundraise off of this. I can, you know, I can get clicks off of this. I can amass power and I can amass wealth. And I also, like, come on, the legacy media is doing this. Politicians are doing this. They're doing it on purpose. And we are exceptionally vulnerable to it. And we've been exceptionally vulnerable throughout history. And when you invert morality to say, oh, no, you kill those Jews, you kill those, you know, Tutsis, you killed who are Serbs, Bosnians, Druze, you know, whoever it is, those cockroaches, they are the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
And if you kill them, you are noble, you're saving society, you are moral, you are just, you are a hero. We're very vulnerable to that. And whilst all of this is happening, and this is one thing I love so much about you, is whilst they are dividing us and distracting us and getting us to fight amongst each other in the most violent and vile ways, they're passing legislation quietly like, hey, how do we how do we give complete immunity to the people that make glyphosate?
Yeah.
I'm talking about that right now. Nobody.
I did a piece on that.
You
a couple
did,
weeks ago.
Which is why I love you. That's my point. And that's for everyone to consume. Right? Whether you're red, whether you're blue, whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you're brown,
right.
yellow, white, whatever the hell. This is information that we all need to be focused on and united on. But instead, if you're like, I hate trans people
mm-hmm.
and I hate immigrants and I hate whitey and I hate, you know, if this keeps going, then not only are we going to, God knows, be killing each other, that you got, wasn't there just another shooting today on the friggin' ICE?
At the ICE facility?
Oh,
right.
I
didn't
details
even
about
see that.
That
like, they shoot ABC. Like, this is a trick.
I feel like that's another PSYOP thing where now it's, oh, they've shot some immigrants or something. Now we have a right-wing shooter and you have a left-wing shooter and now we're all fighting about.
There should be no shooters.
Yeah, exactly.
I got an idea. No shooters.
Yeah.
No vigilantism. I know. None of this. It should be unilaterally condemned. And on the right, they are like, this isn't true. There's not an equivalence. In other words, if you look at the last 5 years, they've been doing more of it. Okay, great. Let's nobody do it.
Nobody.
I don't
right.
I don't care.
And having more messages of unity, like right after it bothered me, and I lean right. My audience knows that. But
I do too.
But
at this point,
yeah,
it's ridiculous because I haven't changed, and I was I am actually a liberal. But anyway, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. So you know, Elon Musk, who I like in a lot of ways, you know, saying fight. You have all these people immediately kind of putting out this message to incite civil unrest and civil war.
Steve Bannon.
Yeah. A lot
this
of
is war.
I even heard Patrick Bet David yesterday on an interview say that immediately after, he was just being superhuman. He was just saying immediately after, I wanted vengeance. That was my initial reaction, like to your point. But I feel like everybody has to take a step back and focus on the things that bring us together because the evil wants the chaos. They want the division.
You know what? I've had to think long and hard about this, and I'm not saying I have the answer, and I've definitely been particularly volatile in the last, very emotional, and it's like it's right under the surface. That makes me react more impulsively than I think I would because things are so heightened and words are dangerous now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they spur on crazy people. But I realize that there is no unity with the people you're speaking of. And what we need to do is isolate those voices and marginalize them and drown them out and elevate voices of concession. So for example, this is such a bizarre irony, but Charlie Kirk and Van Jones had been going back and forth. And, you know, Van Jones does the same shit. All the race baiting, he does the same shit. And I'm like, Van, here's a clip of you saying all white people have a virus in their brain called racism that can activate at any time. So don't act like you have the moral high ground because you don't. Why don't you go sit with Charlie Kirk and have a conversation and show America how to heal? Charlie actually ended up retweeting that the day that he died, and he apparently did reach out to Van Jones.
Wow.
And Van Jones...
I never knew that.
Well, Van Jones came out and said, he reached out to me. He wanted to talk, and he read the message. And the message was, let's disagree civilly. Let's be gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Let's have a conversation. And Van put that out there. And I then tried to elevate that because it's like, look at this concession. Look at this. It's not the perfect message. I get it. And, you know, there were other people on the right saying, he tried to make himself the victim, and he tried to do this. I'm sorry. That's a step in the right direction. Kimmel going, I shouldn't have done it. That's a step in the right direction. I never called for his canceling because I don't believe in that. But
same.
I don't believe in that. But you're going to go out there and you're going to say, mistake. What more do you want?
Right.
That's grace. Where's the forgiveness? Where's the room to grow and evolve? Are you serious? Not to be biblical because I have no understanding of it. But if I was to say, you know, hey, without sin, throw the first stone kind of a thing. I mean, who are you? Are you the perfect person? I know I need a lot of grace in my life. I'm going to give it and hope that I get it back. So you can't have unity with crazy. You isolate it, you marginalize it, and you elevate the voices on the other side in particular that are that extending an olive branch. Even if you think it's a twig, take it, magnify it, lean in.
I do want to ask you, so like when you're talking about marginalizing voices that are crazy out there, that I find that sometimes it has like the
not
opposite.
Not canceling. Oh, tell me. I right? mean, just don't like, lean for example, in. Don't fight with it. Don't repost right. it. Mm-hmm. Don't argue with it. Don't engage with it. Don't try. Don't bother.
Don't give it right. the spotlight.
Bingo.
Because one example I can think of is Nick Fuentes, where he's banned from basically every single platform,
Good
but he's
God.
More powerful than ever. So Oof. Then when you try to marginalize like that.
You made him taboo. And
right. So that's what I'm saying is like when you try to do that, it only gives him like more power to say, hey, they don't want me to say
they
I'm
are
the ultimate truth teller
with him in that constantly Nick Fuentes is a bad guy, Nick Fuentes is evil, don't go towards Nick Fuentes. So you are talking about him. You aren't quieting him
right,
down
right.
You are putting a spotlight on him, whereas I've talked a lot about concern. You know, I didn't know if we were going to get into the whole CNN thing, if I was able to actually finish a thought. When you demonize one race of people, you got a lot of young kids that are going to lean into racism. They are. And what I will say is there are voices on the alt-right that these kids are going to find and they're going to lean into. This is very dangerous. And Jordan Peterson actually apparently said that to Rogan as well. I didn't know that. Someone sent it to me. He's like, if you keep doing this, you're going to have a whole new generation of KKK and they won't be wearing masks. And the reality is just, I don't say his name. I don't talk about him. I just explain these are the deeper concerns. Like no one's trying to center white people's feelings here. But if you keep playing this game, which is factually inaccurate and totally unfair, you know, there's like no, not one race has a monopoly on, you know, darkness and evil. Sorry.
No,
like it just,
no. But like anything else, there's good people, there's bad people. There, you know,
100%.
In anything, whether it's an industry for 100%. Work or whatever it is, like, and that's what's so crazy. I don't know why I believe we're all souls, right? And it's almost like a Sims. Like my soul was put into this body. I didn't choose it, but that's never really talked about. They again, I think it's a strategy for division, right?
Of course it is, but the problem is, people take the bait and it begets itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was talking to, speaking of PBT's podcast, I was talking to Vincent O'Shaughnessy on that podcast, and he's like, I'm an immigrant. I didn't own slaves. My ancestors didn't own slaves. I didn't write any of this legislation, and I'm tired of getting blamed for this. Okay, well, now the problem is if you've demonized a person who should be your ally, who you want to empathize, mm-hmm. how is he going to empathize if you've made him a bad guy? He doesn't even understand what the problem is. He's like, I don't get it. I have nothing to do with this. Why are you pulling me into this? This is a very dangerous, divisive. So now you've lost a guy because he's being attacked by this vicious cycle. So you can start the narrative, but someone picks up the mantle and then the next guy picks up the mantle. And it's like a contagion.
Well, I think that's on purpose to divert attention away from the people who actually make the policy. If you make people hate each other like you hate your neighbor, then you get all this infighting and people trying to, you know, duke it out on the street level while, you know, in Congress behind closed doors, they're passing all the legislation that don't make any sense. Right? I brought this up to you the other day, and I'll say it again. Like a couple of weeks ago, they repealed some law saying that airlines don't have to reimburse passengers when the flight is, you know, delayed or canceled. And I'm like, there's zero people that asked for this other than airline lobby. People, there are zero Americans that wanted that passed. Like, we all...
And
like,
then I said, unless the Boeing 737 is going to, like, lose an engine mid-flight, then that's fine. I don't need my $700.
But you know what I'm saying? It's just like, they get to do that behind the scenes while we're arguing about, like, who's being racist and who's not being racist.
That's exactly... I couldn't agree with you more. And there's a uniparty. The reality is that all these guys take money on both sides from these monster corporations... And then they get us to fight about the culture war stuff. But the culture war stuff is so alarming, you almost can't help but take the bait. You're like, wait, culture is
important, right? Every country, every society has culture. But I think one thing lacking in the culture conversation is, what do we share in common as Americans? Because I think that is lacking. When I go to other countries, there are things outside of just like making as much money as possible that tie a country together. Even just small stuff when you go to Italy, which I've never been to. But it's the food, right? It's like how you make pasta. This is very important to us. Like, if you make it the wrong way, I'm going to fucking kill you, right?
Yeah. And, it's true.
My wife is Italian.
Yeah.
And I cut my pasta once. Oh my God, you would have thought I committed murder.
Right.
No, I'm Italian. I'm Sicilian. And okay, oh boy. So
that's what I'm saying. It's like those things are important, even though they're small things. It ties a society together. And I don't think we have that in America, where no matter what, we share these things, common values. And that's totally something that's missing from the culture conversation. I don't know who's going to take up that mantle to try to bring us together to say, hey, even though we disagree on maybe some of these, you know, religious beliefs, and that's good in America. I think we should believe and we should have different religions, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, all of these things. But here's what we do. That we do better than everybody else, and that's what binds the society together. So then we don't, you know, enact violence against our neighbors.
I would hope that there would be the leader that will rise. There are certain voices I think could do it.
That unifies.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because even somebody like AOC, who's like for human rights or whatever, she's not a unifying figure.
No, she's, I do not.
She's the most, one of the most divisive, I would say. Whether you like her, I still think what she stands for, she's exceptionally divisive. No, I don't think it's going to be her.
I would love to vote for a woman for president. We just haven't put anybody forward. You know that?
I'd be curious to see.
Jillian Michaels. Is that what we're saying?
Can you imagine? That would be horribly chaotic. What I think we're going to have to do is it's going to have to be you doing your part, me doing my part. I don't think a leader is going to be able to rise. I think it's going to have to be a movement. I think we're each going to have to improve ourselves just a little to get us there. I think it's going to take a collective effort. You know, I'm curious to hear what you think about this. I happen to really like Tulsi Gabbard.
I love Tulsi.
I think she's fantastic. You don't like her?
I liked her until she came into this administration and started saying things that she was against for many years.
The war stuff,
right? How could you be an anti-war, you know, person that doesn't want regime change wars, and all of a sudden you come into this administration and then you are for regime change wars all of a sudden? That bothers me.
Explain to me,
yeah.
Like, I didn't take it that way. I thought that she was saying there are reasons to strike Iran. And I felt like that ended pretty quickly. And I was happy with the fact that it ended pretty quickly. Now, I'm not an expert in this. I'm certainly not here to educate you on geopolitics, okay? I'm just simply saying, I'm glad that ended very quickly.
Yeah. It didn't turn into a
forever war. I was thrilled about that.
I was telling James, he was on a trip, and I was like, I'm going to Costco. I'm stockpiling food. You do need rice. Like,
I hear ya. So know that she kind of had to say, okay, I do think there's, you know, she had kind of massage her position on that. With that said, I haven't seen her advocate for more. If I'm wrong, please educate me. In addition, I think we have to appreciate there are certain limitations, just like we talked about with Kennedy.
True. Yeah.
You can't be like, Mr. President.
No,
I don't think she can do that. There's an element of the game that has to be played in order to be in a position of power, just like Kennedy, just like Tulsi. You know, I don't hate the player. I hate the game. I'm looking at who is playing it in the most ethical way possible. And in the conversations that I've had with her, watching her historically, I mean, she was for Bernie. I wasn't for Bernie because economically I didn't agree. And I could be, you know, I'm sure I'm in opposition with you on that. And that's fine. But when they robbed him of the nomination, she was outraged and left the party.
Right.
She's willing to stand by her ethics, in my opinion, as much and as often as she can, especially to her great detriment. I think that she is for bridging ideologies. She went and spoke at Republican 100%. Conventions when she was a Democrat, and they completely admonished her for that. And she was like, I'm going. Was it CPAC or something?
It was CPAC. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And she was a Democrat at the time.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, personally, she's conveyed messages to me of her deep concern with regard to the division in the country. And if I could quote her directly, she said to me, you know, this divided we fail. I'm botching this. She said this far more eloquently, but she was like, the divided we fall thing, very real.
Oh, for sure.
And it, I know that it is top of her mind. So I look at her and I'm like,
a lot of these people too are being judged, like Kash Patel, which again,
no, I think Kash is done. I'm done with him.
I
understand.
I feel the same way. But to my point,
I understand.
I was just gonna say, a lot of these people, like you were saying, you know, hate the game, not the player type of a thing. It is still very early on in Tulsi's, you know, situation. Right. Like, it's been 9 months since this administration, and they're being you know, judged under a microscope. So I do think we need to give a little bit more time. Cash is a different situation. You know,
I don't think you know what you're upset about.
You tell me all about
it. The thing I'm most upset about is going in front of Congress with a straight face and saying Epstein never talked to any young women to anybody.
Right. You're totally right.
And did you see the statue that was put up yesterday in the National Mall?
No.
Yesterday, while Trump is in Ukraine, I think, someone put up and paid a lot of money for a bronze statue of President Trump holding hands with a bronze statue of Jeffrey Epstein. Oh. In honor of Friendship Month, there is a big plaque. So people that are saying there's an attack on freedom of speech with like the Jimmy Kimmel stuff, like the First Amendment's real, because guess what? The statues are still up, and they had engraved under Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein the letter, the script of the alleged birthday card from the Wall Street Journal.
I understand. The Epstein stuff is filthy, dirty.
Yeah.
The list should be released, I think.
Well, that's the type of stuff that we need to restore faith in the American government. Because if you're always going to protect the billionaires and the elites, then nobody's going to have faith in anything. And then that's when vigilante justice happens. Justice is a word that's in quotes there, right? People are saying, you're not going to do anything about it, so I'm going to do something about it.
Mm.
And I'm going to do it my way.
I think it's the my way part that we need to, come to an agreement on. Because we should... To a certain extent, you've got independent journalists that are tackling this. There are ways to take matters into your own hands.
Sure.
Violence is not one.
It's not the one.
No, the statues to me
are funny. That's
100%.
Funny.
You know, I think it's 100%. Funny because, you know, it's President Trump. I love his sense of humor, and I think that he control people. So it's like, if you're going to give it, you got to take
it.
Out of it. And you know,
totally
he's not happy.
He's not happy about this for sure.
Oh, there's no way. But
I don't disagree with you. You're totally right. I mean, what's ironic is he started this whole narrative.
Right.
Do you remember him on stage with Hannity in like 2016?
Yes.
Right. Implying that Clinton was a big part of this whole thing.
Oh, and he probably 100%. Is a big part of this whole thing. Probably.
Let's not get sued. We don't know.
No, we don't know. Allegedly.
No, I know. Allegedly. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, allegedly, allegedly.
We don't know. We don't want to get shot and we don't want to get sued. We
exactly.
Don't know. It's all an opinion. Anyway, no, I agree with you. I have every right to be
and it's, yeah, so
upset and disappointed.
Yeah, for me, it's like, I don't care if I disagree with your policy. I care if you're trying to implement it in good faith, yeah. Right? That's what's important. I think Americans need that again. Something to be passed where, like, okay, you're doing something for the people. Because everything has been, you know, if you look at the Big Beautiful Bill, all these kinds of things are for the donors.
Of course.
And that's when you, you know, you don't want, like, for example, January 6th, it was a huge thing. And I'm one of those people, it's like, hey, I don't demonize it. Like, you have to look at what drove people to go out. Because if I'm chill, I'm not going to go out to D.C. and take up, I'm going to do something. I'm going to go bowling. I don't know. I'd rather do something like that than like go and march and storm the Capitol. So that's like, you have to look at what preceded these people versus like demonizing these people right away. That's sometimes, I don't know if you would agree with that. Because you think.
What? There's another one that I have not dug into. When January 6th comes up, I just give it. It's a card that I just give. It's a concession off the top. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to sit here. I've heard the arguments of nobody was violent. The only person that got hurt was on the MAGA side. Right. I don't know. I haven't looked into it. It's my automatic gimme. Because I'm not going to try to defend something that is potentially indefensible. Right. I haven't done my homework. And it's certainly not a hill I want to die on.
Yeah.
There are other things, because it's always the red herring. It's always the vaccine conversation with Kennedy, right? It's like, oh, you want to have a conversation about violence? January 6th. I'm like, yes, wrong. Okay. You go, all right. Now let's dig into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a rabbit hole. It's a game. It's a trick. I'm bad. So I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I automatically give up that one immediately as a concession in attempt to seek understanding, if you will.
That, I mean, that's my part is I'm trying to educate people on various issues to say, hey, this is what we should be focusing on versus all of this other stuff.
You're right.
And then hopefully over a period of time, this is my theory, is that hopefully people will unite on something
more than
just trying to demonize
if
other people.
You still have a voice, because it feels like the Charlie Kirk thing, right? Well, first it felt like during COVID. I was somebody who did not want to get the vaccine, live in California. I, you know, was just appalled when Dr. Robert Malone and Peter McCullough were taken off and deplatformed.
Yeah.
Did you hear the announcement yesterday? They're letting people back in now.
Oh, well, great. Yeah. It's 5 years later. Yeah. It's a little late. But, you know, the father of the mRNA technology, Dr. Robert Malone, I mean, it was insane. And then now, fast forward 5 years, you know, that's kind of simmered down, but you have this attack on Charlie Kirk.
Right.
And it feels like whoever it was an attack on freedom of speech, because this is a guy that was coming out. He was having these conversations with the other side openly. He was connecting with the youth.
He
could have been
being disrespectful.
No, could have been.
No, he was one of the good ones. I mean, to be honest, like, for people I disagree with, I truly valued his principle in saying, I'm going to hear from people that I don't disagree with.
He was never like, you're an idiot. You're this, you're that. No. Like, tell me why you think this. Okay. Give me an example of that.
Yeah.
He was never like, you dumb buffoon. And they would sit there and roll every freaking slur at this guy in the book. And he's like, okay, well, why do you think I'm a racist? Well, da-da-da-da-da. And he would answer. I don't know if that's the guy you're taking out.
But is there an attack on freedom of speech? Do you feel that? I mean,
but I do think that this is, listen.
Because you probably have a nuance based on, I'm, you know, this is going to be a touchy thing that happened a couple days ago, right? I saw you, your thing, and I saw Anna's response.
I'm happy to talk about that.
And, with and it seems take, like,
I will freedom happily of speech discuss the thing. Let's discuss that. So for anybody who isn't watching,
And we can even add the clip in.
I walked out of a segment on a show that I was responsible for. So let me be very clear. I'm responsible for the content on that show. PBD was like, you are responsible. He's doing a million things. He's not in charge of that show. I mean, of course, he'll be called in as, you know, the tip of that spear should there be a reason. But he's like, you are responsible. It's my platform. Okay. I'm not being invited on someone else's platform where they're asking me to engage in a debate about something, which, first of all, Gaza is not something I'm qualified to debate. So let's be very clear. I don't think the vast majority of people are. If you have an opinion, fantastic, you have an opinion, okay. But if this is my platform and you're going to put forward conspiracy theories, then I think you have a responsibility to present A, both sides. And I think that you need to be exceptionally careful with your speech. So Anna Kasparian has her own platform. Amy Dangerfield has her own platform. Lindy Lee has her own platform. I have sat through so many different conversations and invited them as interviews. I want to be clear, because if I interview Dave Smith, I'm learning his perspective. Mm-hmm. If I interview Barry Weiss, I want her perspective. A debate is, I have the qualifications to come on here and make a case for, you know, X, Y, Z. I said very clearly, guys, there have been numerous shows now with all of the things in the news where it's let's bash Israel, let's bash Israel, let's bash Israel. I understand. I think there are gross atrocities that are being committed. You know, this is a very complex thing. I don't truly believe it. Anna, if you want to do this and this is your thing, you have a huge platform. Do it on there.
Do it there.
We've done it quite a bit of it here now. The man was just buried. It's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And you guys want to go on and give credibility to something that there is no current evidence for. And I'm responsible for this platform and the content that goes out on it. We don't have a person.
Okay, so, then it's just to clarify. So then the editorial, I guess, responsibility is yours.
It's mine.
It's not like a four-person shared.
I was the tip of that spear. Like, okay. PBD, you're the point guard. You're the point guard. You're in charge of that. You're the one. If you had a problem, you should have come to me. And so at this point, I was saying, guys, you know, this has been covered a week ago. This is the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We're going to look like assholes doing this. Literally the day after they buried the man, there are plenty of things to focus on. Mm-hmm. You know, the gun being disassembled, like what's weird about the text messages, this guy who was apparently at 9/11.
Right.
You want to focus on that, focus on that. And I said, there's no evidence for this. You don't have the evidence for this.
And this is specifically in reference to the Max Blumenthal thing, where he talked about $150 million
connection to supposedly killing Charlie Kirk. So I was like, okay, they insisted on doing it. All of them insisted on doing it. So it turns out that as they're like, no, we appreciate, we don't think this is true. Right. Amy says, I don't think this is true.
I think Anna said, I don't think this is true.
Anna says, I don't think there's no evidence for this. Amy starts out her segment with, there's no evidence for this. Okay. But then proceeds to only present half of the information and then fight to try to make a case that it's that it has merit. And at this point, I'm like, wait a minute here. You just said you didn't think there was evidence for this. You just started the segment saying you don't think there's evidence for this. You don't have the information that this guy, Max Blumenthal, has worked for, written for papers funded by Qatar and Iran. You somehow left that part of it out. Your source is Candace Owens. I like Candace. I've had her on. You know, I do think maybe she's a bit down a rabbit hole. When Andrew,
but that's her platform. She's allowed to do that.
Of course. Yeah. I've had her on my platform to talk about it.
Right.
She's talked about it on my platform. It wasn't a debate. It was an interview. I was like, okay, tell me. I'm confused. You know, not the Charlie Kirk thing.
Yeah.
But her concerns about Israel or her concerns about vaccines. Not the Charlie Kirk piece. I wouldn't have that probably. That's for her platform.
Yeah.
You know, right now, I think that Jewish people are scared. I have very many Jewish friends who are afraid to wear their Star of David. They're seeing an incredible rise in anti-Semitism that resembles what their grandparents described in World War II Germany. Mm-hmm. I think this is very real. I've also interviewed the Gadsads, the Barry Weisses, the Dave Rubens, as well as the Dave Smiths, the Anna Kasparians. Mm-hmm. I've listened to both sides. It's very complex. I don't have, as I said, the knowledge base, the credibility, the expertise to engage in any sort of argument about that. Now, I don't know if you've heard Gadsad talk about how there are 6 degrees of Jew. And what he means by that is you'll always link back some sort of atrocity to the Jews. Always. You'll always find a way. 9/11, the killing of Charlie Kirk. It's the Jews. It's the Jews.
Well, there's some people, I think, just to give, like, there's good faith people who try to, I think Anna is one of these good faith people who,
I think
who
Anna,
are not pointing towards Jewish people. They're pointing towards, like, a government that's acting.
I think Anna has gone down a rabbit hole a little bit. I think that she's gotten.
Because is she talking about.
Well, okay. I'll give you an example. Like, again, you want to do this. Do it on your platform.
Mm-hmm.
I have people sending me videos of her saying, you think you're God's chosen people, but you behave like demons.
She said that?
Yeah. You want the video of it?
Yeah. I believe you, but.
No, I'll.
I mean, that is.
I'll play for you right now.
But that is implicating a religion, an ethnicity group versus saying, hey, Netanyahu's government is doing this. I think those are two different things.
You think you're God's chosen people, you behave like demons.
Yikes. That's.
Here.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I'll send you to my phone.
I think it's important. I think it's important.
But we can clip into the show.
Okay, so hold on. Okay. Let me back up for one second. I've been accused of everything under the sun. You're a racist. You're a transphobe. You're a bigot. You're a picket, right? Mm. And you're a quack. You're anti-science. That's. And those three girls, to their credit, I was like, oh, this is going to be a lot for them to have to kind of weather the storm and sit next to me. And they did. So as Anna's being like called all these things, and I'm like, I owe it to her to sit next to her and not, you know, this like, but it was making me increasingly uncomfortable. And then every show is now bashing Israel. And now you're trying to make a case that the Jews were somehow connected to 9/11. So that was a show just a few shows back. And at that point, I'm like, I think, why don't we, there's a lot in the news, okay? This is very dangerous, this rhetoric. It, you know, these words, I understand that you would never cause harm on somebody, but I think your words could potentially stoke very dangerous narratives of anti-Semitism. I'm kind of putting this into the zeitgeist with also the show's showrunner. You know, Lindy and I were going back and forth. I'm like, Lindy, she's sending me the demons thing. I'm like, this is concerning. So, you know, we have the 9/11 thing. And then I'm like, I think, guys, we just buried him. It's the first day of Rosh Hashanah and there's no evidence for this. This is dangerous. We are not like capable of doing this segment in a credible way unless you're planning on presenting all sides of this, having somebody with a differing opinion. We need to be responsible. Don't worry. And then the next thing I know, Lindy and Amy are making the case that it's true. It's like, oh, but Max is great and Candace is the source. And I'm like, wait a minute, how do we get Colvitt's wrong and Colvitt's lying and the business partners are lying. They're not telling the truth. And he was just with Candace. And I'm thinking, didn't we just agree that we were not going to say there was merit here? I thought we were all on the same page that there was no evidence for this. And then Anna turns around and is like, there's no evidence for this. And I was like, oh, thank God. Okay, let's move on. And she's like, but Netanyahu! Oh my God, how does every freaking show come back to this? How does every show come back to this? And at that point, I'm like, I'm not going to be responsible for this. I'm not going to participate in this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm responsible for this. And this is not a debate. This is not an interview. This is not a fair portrayal of all of the facts. And this is not for me. So again, I get it. I've had these, I've sat through all of those.
Because I'm sure you're very well versed now in her perspective.
I am very versed in her perspective. I've also interviewed Sean Hannity and Leland Vittard and Gad Saad and Barry Weiss. I haven't interviewed Ben Shapiro. I've heard him talk about it. This is very complex and nuanced. This is not, and it's trendy. I'm sorry, everyone under 30 is like, fuck Israel. And I'm like, but do you really understand this though? Do you at 30? Do you understand the nuance of this? This is thousands of years old. Where is your outrage about the killing of the Druze people? Where is your outrage about like all?
Well, I think that the different world to go, because I am on the more on the
Kesperian
side.
And I respect, and honey, I respect that. I'm sitting right here.
Yeah, of course. So that's why
I'm talking about it with you.
Yeah.
And I respect your opinion. But when I'm responsible for
that I understand if it's your show. But I wouldn't bring it up if I bring up a segment and says there's no credibility to this, then I shouldn't be bringing it up. I would only bring it up and say, hey, I think this is something to look at here, guys.
Well, right? We all agreed there was no credibility to it, and yet it was brought up anyway.
And it you probably felt a little blindsided, and well, given the holiday and everything else.
I felt railroaded, which I didn't appreciate.
Yeah.
So I had had other issues. So, for example, we had had on a former senator. And listen, I don't care if you don't like her. Don't bring her on as a guest if you're going to, you know, engage in ad hominem attacks.
Right, for sure.
So we bring on Kyrsten Sinema, and this woman is saying, like, I get that you guys are all outraged about this policy or that policy, but Trump is going to Trump. Trump's not listening to the Her Take podcast, so let's deal in reality. They, you know, move along. Like, let's focus on what to do about it. They all three went batshit crazy. Now, I'm not going to try to take that away from them. They were offended. Okay. But the next thing I know, I've got Lindy telling her she's a communist or something to that effect. Like, this is communism to not let people have your... And Sinema's like, I'm extremely offended by that. Amy is like, no wonder you don't want to talk about the Epstein files. I'm like, stop! I'm like, oh my God, this is... I'm like, okay, stop it, stop. And Anna's like, you are a disaster in the Senate. And this is not... You know, this is not
It's not productive.
This is not, I don't believe in ad hominem attacks. So I go back to the team. I'm like, they're like, well, she was rude to us. And I'm like, guys, you're all smart. Attack her ideas. Don't attack her as a person. Mm. You know, this is not classy. This is, you think you're going to get guests on behaving like this? Like, when you watch PBD, he'll interview Netanyahu and he'll interview Nick Fuentes and he'll attack their ideas. You know, I'm like, this is not the way PBD functions. We should not be functioning this way. Cut to, at that point, now you've got Colvett coming out saying, there's no evidence of this $150 million payment. Like, I don't know anything about it. Alex Clark, who was very close with Charlie, is like, yeah, I never heard of such a thing. I mean,
even Nick Fuentes has a saying that there's nothing.
Dave Smith said, there's nothing here. So. Nick Fuentes himself said, there's nothing here. PBD, there's nothing here. And their explanation was like, listen, Charlie became more critical. This is true. Mm-hmm. He took criticism for having Dave Smith and Tucker Carlson at Turning Point. This is true. But there's no evidence to suggest that Israel was responsible for this. That is a dangerous narrative. And I just think if you're determined, you better present all of the facts. And then when I was like, hold on a second. You know, this Max Blumenthal guy has significant conflicts. No, he doesn't. I think he's great. I'm like, what? And then Amy's like, well, Candace Owens says so. I'm like, hold on a minute. What are you doing right now?
Yeah.
And then when Anna turns around and is like, okay, there's no evidence, but fuck Israel. Like, I was like, okay.
Well, so can you separate out? Do you think you can separate out Israel from Jewish culture?
For me religion? Personally, of course. I actually engaged in a conversation with Barry White about, do you have criticisms of Netanyahu? Do you have criticisms about the way the Likud party went forward? Mm-hmm. There were many concessions made on my end in an attempt to understand, like, I see why you're angry. That's deeply alarming. That's very upsetting. But I also see a Jewish hostage being forced to dig his own grave looking like a skeleton. Equally disturbed, okay? Like, this is not, I am horrified by the atrocities, period. I certainly am not a person who should be expanding on this topic. Even what's the most ironic is when, this is unfortunate, but when Anna launches into her personal attack on me, people are like, she shouldn't be talking about that. She's a health expert. I'm like, ding, 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 ding. Exactly. She has a platform to discuss it. We've discussed it numerous times, to the point of me becoming uncomfortable with regard to trying to make a connection between 9/11 and Israel, which is like, there's no evidence there whatsoever.
I think Tucker Carlson also just came out with a whole docuseries about that, by the way, yesterday.
Oh, dear God. Okay, then that's Tucker Carlson. Tucker can do that on his platform. You do it on yours. Like, this is something that I'm responsible for. I hired her for that job.
Well,
I hired her. I went to PBD. And I was like, Anna Kasparian. And he's like, I told you.
And Anna is a force to be reckoned with. I think she's I think that's, I mean, I respect her a lot.
I think what she did after was classless. I do. I'm sorry.
I saw the segment. You're talking about her on TYT.
Yeah, just, I'm like, really? I was like, dude, I have sung your praises in the public forum, whether it was on Rogan or News Nation.
Well, even right now, you're saying
I got you that job. And for you to go and do that, and I kept my mouth shut because the truth of the matter is I didn't want to give anybody the impression I thought the girls were anti-Semitic. I had very serious reservations about it, and I was concerned that it could make them look that way. I'm like, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, let it stand on its own. I didn't want to do the segment. And I was like, you're a class act, kid. Like, this is how you respond. And I think it's all about the, you know, she is young. It's all about like clicks and noise. And I don't think that's a classy way to handle it. I didn't appreciate it.
This issue is very complex in that there's a lot of things involved. And I think there are some, to your point, I think there's a lot of people who glom onto this Israel issue as like an attack towards Jewish people, right? They do that on purpose as like, they're not saying, we're not talking about Jews, we're talking about Israel. And I think there is a bad faith group of people who do that. But then there's another, I think there's cohort of people like myself who say that it's only, honestly, I don't really care about what the Israeli government, I have nothing to do with it. So if you want to do it that way, do it that way. But it's only when you start infringing on my rights, when you start passing like BDS laws saying, hey, you can't criticize Israel.
Of course. And that kind of, and then Kirk himself was like, I should be able to, I've earned the right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where I think people like me start to talk about this issue. It wasn't going to be an issue for me until you now impacted my life or just like, you know, legislation.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Do you think blaming the Jews or Israel for 9/11 or killing Charlie could stoke anti-Semitic narratives?
It could. It could. But
like if it has no merit, could it potentially be irresponsible?
And I would try to do it. I would say what I would try to do is because I have a lot of Jewish friends. I went to school in New York, so just by, you know, my cohort of classmates. So they send me stuff all the time. Even the stuff I say, they're like, hey, man, this is too far.
Yeah.
And so I'm very well aware of what they're talking about. And what I try to explain to them is that I'm trying to do this to hopefully reduce anti-Semitism, because I do think on the other side there is
doing that, James.
In terms of my case, I think there is a bad faith effort from groups like the Anti-Defamation League to stoke anti-Semitism on purpose. Because if you relate that to the homeless industrial complex, these people who are taking money to solve homelessness, but then it keeps going up because they make money from doing that, I think this group does that too, where they stoke anti-Semitism because they're group relies, if they do their job, no more anti-Semitism, no more ADL, then you guys are out of your nice building in New York.
Yeah.
And so I think there is some bad faith things happening there. And I think for me, it's like, I want to make this a welcoming space for everybody to say, hey, you should be welcome here. You shouldn't be using Jewish culture, religion, ethnicity as a shield for behavior and saying, oh, this is blood libel, this is Holocaust, that kind of thing. I think that causes more anti-Semitism.
I think a healthy criticism of Netanyahu and his party, that is totally
different,
justified
and
different. I also think a healthy criticism of October 7th and, you know,
the stuff that Charlie was talking
about. Where is the balance? There was no balance. We didn't put forward.
I think that's what your role was, the balance, I think. That was what you're supposed to counter Anna, right, in that situation.
But we already agreed there was no evidence for this. And then when I said there is no evidence for this, Candace Owens is my evidence. And I was like, all right, you are not qualified to do this job.
Yeah.
You officially are not qualified to put forward this segment. That is not evidence. I like Candace. I've had her on. I disagree with many of her opinions the way you disagree with Charlie. I haven't sat down with Candace. It doesn't mean I don't think she's a nice lady. It doesn't mean that we wouldn't find common ground. I disagree with some of her opinions. But the minute your evidence is Candace Owens said so, you're irresponsible. It's irresponsible. And that was my point. You're not qualified to do this segment. You are not going to present all of the correct and proper facts in the right way. Oh, yes, I am. And then when you turn around and you say, there is no evidence for this, and Candace Owens is your answer, that's when I was like, okay, you guys.
So you're the head of the spear, like you said, for the show.
I was supposed to be. Yeah.
Okay, so it all just happened. I mean, this is like super fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you could work with these people again? Is it?
Is the show? No, the show is not done, right?
I'm pretty sure the show will. I don't actually know, to be dead honest with you. I won't be participating. And I think I've come to the conclusion that, you know, I've had quite a few unfortunate events on panels. I don't think panels are going to work for me anymore. and the reason is...
No, the panel is always not... I mean, like, if you watch The View, nothing gets solved on The View.
Nothing gets properly. And it's like, I can't... I don't want to attack guests. That's not what I want to do.
No.
You guys want to attack the guests with personal attacks? Go for it. I don't want to put forward... You know, I don't want to do segments that connect Israel... You know, that connect conspiracy theories of the worst possible things that have ever occurred to Israel. Not interested. You know, don't want to do it. I just don't. That's not where I'm at. You know, I can't ever convey a point on a panel. Like, I was on Piers, and I happen to love Piers, and he had my back, and he had Riley Gaines' back. But we went into this panel, and the intention was to. I immediately went in and was like, I'm gonna find things on the right that I could say, like, they shouldn't have done this too. Now your turn, right? So I was like,
I can already
should
guess
not
how
have
this
made
this
statement about the Second Amendment, and people who believed in the Second Amendment could, you know, a joke about taking out politicians. Like, I was all prepared to be like, here's a concession, here's a concession, here's a concession, your turn. And the entire time they're like, you guys are bigots, you guys are racist, you're bigots and racists and transphobes and bigots and racists, you bought your daughter. And I came off of that. I'm like, what am I doing, man? What am I doing?
It's really hard, the online space.
That is on purpose, though.
James and I have had conversations. Oh, yeah. And, you know, there was this one segment, and I was standing up for the rise in anti-Semitism, and I was dragged through the public square, right? I mean, and so it's hard. And
you support Kling Babies.
It's difficult because, you know, it's like, I don't need to do this podcast. So then you do start to question and try to soul search and find out, you know, is it worth it to have these conversations? Yeah. I'm not on a panel, and James and I have become
friends.
Well, I think
it's what you're trying to do with this panel, because some of the Piers Morgan stuff is entertainment. It's supposed to be a WWE cage match. That's the whole point of that show. Versus, like, we're actually trying to find common ground. The intent becomes like, hey, are you trying to, like, basically get everybody in a shouting match and that's the entertainment factor? Or is it interesting where you're like, hey, you believe this, I believe this.
Where are the similarities? I wanted, but I don't want to be irresponsible with the content.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, at the end of the day, there's no evidence for it. There's evidence to the contrary that Israel was connected to Charlie's death. His own business partner said there's no evidence of this $150 million payment. There's no evidence that Israel was linked in any way. Bill Ackman came out and said, I have all these receipts. This isn't true. Like, there's quite the opposite. There is a large amount of evidence that it isn't true. There's no evidence that it is true. It's a week old. Why are you doing it? On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, like, the day after the man died, they asked you to have some respect for this now at this point. Like, and then it was like, no, don't worry. We don't think it's true. We're just going to say, hey, you know, people are talking about this, but there's no evidence for it. And then when Lindy and Amy tried to make the case for it, I was appropriately stunned, because I had had completely contradictory conversations. And as mentioned, when Anna came out, because I said, I do not want another show that just bashes Israel. This is not the time. And she's like, no, there's no evidence for this. Absolutely, you say that. I was like, I think this endangers Jewish people. I think this is irresponsible. By all means, Jill, say that. So she, as mentioned, she comes out and she's like, okay, there's no evidence, but Netanyahu's disgusting, and look at the way he responds. And I was like, we're done, I'm done. You do this here, you do it on Young Turks. Like, you know, I can't, like, I just can't. It's not something. I've never been so ashamed. There's only been one other time I've ever been ashamed to be affiliated with a show. And that segment, I don't mean Her Take, I don't mean Valuetainment. That segment, I felt the same amount of shame that I did when Rachel Fredrickson walked out on the season finale of Biggest Loser. I didn't train her. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't know she was going to walk out like that. She looked like she was on death's door.
Because why? She was so thin?
She was so thin.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. She looked like she honestly came out of like a refugee camp. Like, it was It was horrifying. And at that moment, I was like, I'm ashamed of being associated. I quit the show immediately.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Immediately. Never went back. I said, this is awful. This is wrong. I got a letter from the head of NBC. We're going to sue you. We're going to go after you. You better shut up. I posted it actually on my Instagram recently because of this Netflix thing. Yeah. I was like, this isn't true. With that said, that's the only other time I felt that way. And I was like, I'm not going to participate in this. I'm not going to be responsible for this. I'm not going to have this on my conscience. You guys want to do this. You do it on your own platform. You knew I wasn't cool with it. You knew I wasn't comfortable. You misled me about how you were going to represent it. And I'm out.
And I think that's the takeaway here. I know we have like a minute left. I want to make sure you get out of here on time. But I think that's the takeaway when you feel misled by your co-host. Because like we talk about everything that we're going to talk about on the show. Like we have a pre-show rundown. And we trust each other in that we're going to approach these issues in what we expect versus I'm going to blindside her with a thing that she didn't know was coming. Because I think that's the trust factor.
And thank God that doesn't happen, because then all of James's fans would come at me even more than they already do.
And so like,
no, that's hard, you know.
And so just to, you know, kind of wrap, we definitely appreciate your time and the conversation.
I
appreciate
it too, guys. Thank you.
And so, you know, final minute is like, what do you hope to, you know, host on your platform going forward? Like, how do you, what's your mission going forward?
Obviously, I'm continuing to focus on health. I have a documentary coming out on Fox Nation about Maha. I'm just signing a deal with Red Seat. I'm moving my podcast over to the platform. And there's going to be one show that looks back on the events of the week and, you know, gives commentary and interviews experts that are relevant, and one interview show. Mm. If I do engage in debate, it's going to be an actual debate, not a panel. And it's going to be topics where I am an expert. Otherwise, it's going to be an interview. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping to elevate voices on all sides, which I think I have done very successfully on my own podcast. As I mentioned, I've had everyone from Dave Smith and Anna as guests to Barry Weiss and Gad Saad and Batya Ungar Sargon. I try to present all sides and let people make their own decisions. But there are certain narratives I am not comfortable platforming personally if I think that they could do harm. And I don't think there's merit. And it's been debunked. So that's, I want to do no harm. That's all. I want to bridge ideologies. I want to engage in conversation and dialogue. I want to have respectful debate. And
like Charlie Kirk. Yeah. Like carry on that legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. Working to do my part to engage in a healthy debate and conversation.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah,
honestly, you're a star.
Oh, yeah.
No, you really are. You really are. And, you know, you've been in the industry for a long time. You've done so many different things. I'm excited for your book that's coming up.
You
about food.
Are going to love it. Oh, my God. I'm sending you an advance, Gabby.
Oh, yes. Let's go.
It's bananas, guys. It's so deep.
And that's the stuff that we can come together on. It's like, hey, we should all...
But we also come together on being good people.
Yes.
Yes.
We also come together.
We're team good.
To be healthy, happy, loving, have healthy debate and conversations. Like, you may feel one way, I may feel another. So we're sitting here at this table. I know how you feel about Israel. I'm sitting right here with you. I love the stuff you put out. I can say, James, I don't agree with you on that.
Yeah.
So I'm still on your show.
Yeah.
You're still talking to me. I'm still talking to you. It should be like that.
And that's what America is all about.
It is.
It should be, if it's not.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. Oh, my God.